Grape Encounters Radio and David Wilson coming to you from the super secret broadcast location. However, I got a couple of fellows on the line. I'm going to introduce them in just a second. And they are coming to us from, two other separate locations. And you know on Grape Encounters that we like to profile winemakers and wine people that we think are incredibly interesting because we're all about the backstory on Grape Encounters. But I'll tell you something. This is a story that I want to share with you that it really warms my heart. And I want to give you a little background, at least from a personal standpoint. I have been drinking wine, I think, since I was not allowed to, maybe around 18 years of age. I suppose that's legal in some states. But I have two older brothers, both who are big-time wine lovers, who I don't get to see very often. But when I do, at those rare family occasions, Christmas and Thanksgiving and funerals...
What the hell are you talking about?
We always talk about the fact that we wish that we would just stop doing what we're doing and get into winemaking. That's how we'd love to spend the rest of our life. And, you know, we still have that hope.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
But I came across this story about the Blanchard family. And it's Blanchard Family Wines. And a story of two brothers who went in completely different directions with their lives, only to come together much later on and become winemakers of the highest level. And I've got them on the line. It is Mark and James Blanchard, again, of Blanchard Family Wines. And, hey, Mark, let's start with you. Where are you at?
I'm in Healdsburg, California, northern Sonoma County.
And you live there permanently, right?
Absolutely. I've actually been in California coming up on 7 years, spent a couple years in the Napa Valley, and then really discovered a love for Sonoma County. So I've been in the Healdsburg area now for about four, almost 5 years.
Okay, and then Brother James, you're coming to us from where?
Currently I'm in Boulder, Colorado.
Oh, you're in Colorado, okay. And now are you full-time in Colorado, or do you spend a lot of time in Sonoma County as well?
Unfortunately, I'm full-time most of the time in Colorado right now. Due to another day job, and I travel out to Sonoma as frequently as possible.
Okay, so let's talk about the story that you guys, were you guys first of all close when you were kids, or were you doing different things?
Absolutely. As children, we were very close. It's just James and myself. As children, we were really more than just brothers. We were very good friends. We had the same hobbies, the same likes and dislikes, competed in the same sports. As the younger brother, I kind of emulated my older brother, James. I tend to find the same interests as him, and I was even known to, you know, to follow him around and emulate him in many ways. So in our youth, we were very close. Grew up in the Midwest in Illinois. And, you know, had so many things in common. It really wasn't until we hit at least our teenage years that our personalities started going in different directions. And then even further from that, when James left for college, he went on to go to the Air Force Academy in Colorado. I ended up staying in Illinois and going to a liberal arts college in the Chicago suburbs. And it was really then that our interest started going in very different directions.
Good lords, why are you slapping a monkey?
Yeah, I mean, you guys write in your promotional material for the winery that you guys really grew apart and separated not just through distance but through ideology and lifestyle. I mean, did you kind of just lose track of one another? Were you estranged, or just really not available to one another?
Well, you know, I hate to say it, but we were almost estranged. The differences between us in our personalities, in our ambitions in life, they grew so large that we started having very little in common. Like you were saying, going and seeing the family on holidays, there were years there where I only saw James and James only saw me for maybe Christmas, maybe Thanksgiving, not really even birthdays. And when we did meet up, he was living a life as a pilot in the Air Force and had very different ambitions and life ideas. I actually studied creative writing, poetry in college. Was really into music, and we didn't have much to talk about. We were cordial. We loved each other as brothers, but the friendship, the bond, had really disappeared for years. In fact, I can say during my 4 years in college, we probably barely talked outside of, you know, Christmas or a phone call on a birthday. There was really nothing to talk about, unfortunately. Wow. It's kind of a sad point in our relationship as brothers, but it was the truth.
Well, I mean, the reason I wanted to do this story was because, you know, I can relate to it so much. I mean, I love my brothers dearly, but I don't see them very often. Maybe if I'm lucky, twice a year. But I have one brother who actually lives up in the Mendocino wine country. And oh my gosh, he loves wine like I do. But, you know, ideologically, we're very, very different. And so we don't really have a lot to talk about. And but I always think that wine is that common denominator that we share that ultimately will bring our entire family together. It's just interesting. And by the way, if you're just joining us, we're telling the story of Mark and James Blanchard, Blanchard Family Wines. And if you can get your hands, by the way, on these wines, I tried two of them last week, and they were as good as anything I have ever tasted. I really, really, well, they were orgasmic. They really were. And and made by two guys who really have been apart for a long, long time and brought together by wine. So, James, you joined the military, Air Force Academy, right? And then became a helicopter pilot.
Correct, David. And that's, you know, fortunately, as strange as it sounds, that the Air Force would lead us to this passion of wine. That's kind of how it worked out. After I graduated from the Air Force Academy, my first assignment was in California at Vandenberg Air Force Base, which is down near Santa Barbara, San Ynez Valley area.
Right on the edge of the Santa Rita Hills.
Oh, it's a beautiful area, and my wife and I really, that's when we fell in love with wine and started visiting wineries and meeting winemakers and flying over the valleys in the helicopter, just exploring the region the best we could. And it just so coincidentally happened, while I was out in California, Mark had graduated college and started working in a wine shop in Chicago. And where wine was never a part of our upbringing, again, Mark said we're from Illinois. We're a Pabst Blue Ribbon family from birth.
Beer! That's what I need!
And it was just very coincidental that wine came into our life after our college years and gave us that common bond, something to talk about again.
So in other words, you would get together at those family gatherings and wine would be the dominant subject? That was what you guys had to talk about?
That's exactly right, David. As Mark said, you know, we had different interests in music, in politics, religion, every issue you could come up with. We had no common ground to talk on. But I could come home and say, you know, hey, Mark, Sylvia and I, my wife, just went and visited this wonderful winery in San Ynez. And Mark could say, oh, well, we sell that in our shop. Or I just had a rep come in, and when we sampled this wine, and I said, oh, well, maybe I'll go try that. And so we could have a conversation about things that we both enjoyed. And again, surprisingly, our taste in wine developed separately, was very similar in what we liked and disliked in the wine business and wine industry and wine taste.
Do you have any theory as to why your tastes paralleled one another? Is it because, you know, you grew up on the same foods and, you know, food certainly has some influence on, you know, the kind of wines, at least that I like, or maybe it's just a coincidence?
I don't know if the food would be the issue. Our mother is Chinese, and we grew up on a lot of Chinese food, which doesn't necessarily blend well with high-end Cabernet. But
I think part of it is the fact that with all our differences, we are still brothers. And if you take away, you know, our different views, and as James said, everything from politics, religion, music, art, we are very similar in so many ways deep down inside. You know, we are still brothers. And you know, I think the taste in wine was just something that naturally developed similar, because there are still so many and always has been so many similarities between us. You know, James, as he said, developed a California wine palate, running a wine shop in the Midwest. California was the prominent wine that we sold. So most of what I was discovering very early on in my wine career was great California wines as well.
So, Mark, what kind was it? Was it a great wine shop? I mean, did they have a pretty good selection of wines there?
Absolutely. he was in the Chicago suburbs where I went to college. In fact, I thought it was a little funny, David, when you said that your love of wine started before you were old enough to legally drink wine. Well, believe it or not, I actually started in the wine business before I was legally allowed to drink wine. At 20 years old, I started working at what was basically a specialty liquor store, specialty rare liquors, microbrew beers, and really had a fantastic wine selection. I went in at 20 years old as a stock boy, knowing nothing about wine. As James also mentioned, we were not raised in a wine family. And I initially had to start learning about wine, first and foremost, so I could properly stock the shelves. Yeah, I had to learn how to read the wine label so I knew where to put the bottles away. And the interest just started there. And fortunately for me, it was one of the premier wine shops of a great suburb of Chicago. So I was lucky enough to have really fantastic sales reps bringing me in wine, winemakers coming to visit, going to great wine functions in the Chicago area. So I was actually introduced to some of California's best wine by the time I was 21 years old.
Man, that's a luxury. Hey, I can't wait to talk about how you guys actually made that quantum leap from wine lovers to winemakers.
Yes, I can check that off my list of things to do.
We got so much more to talk about.
All right, stop before I throw up.
So we're here with the Blanchards. The Blanchard Family Wines, a great story about two brothers coming together to make wines. So much more to talk about on Grape Encounters Radio.
Your grape escape continues on Grape Encounters Radio. Here on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
And we are back with more Grape Encounters Radio, telling the tale of two brothers. I love this story because, gosh, me and my brothers have talked for a good 20-plus years about just dumping our careers and going into the winemaking business, albeit I at least have a cool job that is related to wine with Grape Encounters Radio. But, boy, it'd be fun to have purple feet.
I love grapes.
And anyway, we've got on the line Mark and James Blanchard. They told us in the first segment of this interview about how they went in very different directions. One went to the Air Force Academy and became a helicopter pilot, and the other, oh my gosh, followed rock bands around the country, earned a degree in creative writing, got into poetry, just the opposite of being in the military, eventually went on to work in a terrific wine shop in the Midwest, and then eventually both came together and discovered their passions for wine. So I guess the first question that I have is this. James, you still fly a helicopter?
Temporarily, I'm not. I'm actually up at the University of Colorado getting a doctorate in business.
And you said that you were stationed at Vandenberg, so you're right there on the edge of the, well, you really are right in the middle of the Central Coast wine country. You said you used to fly over the vineyards there. Was that in your own plane? Or?
Unfortunately, no. Our military helicopter, our training area extended all through the some of the vineyard lands and into the mountainside there, and we just had the opportunity to essentially sightsee through our operational missions and make our way all the way up and down the California coastline flying missions and get to see the very terrain there.
You're supposed to be protecting the country and you're looking down.
I don't know what to say. I'm shocked.
Admittedly, at the vineyards thinking, I'd like to do that.
A little bit of both, David.
I know you can't admit that, but I would say this: that if the entire world could sit together and just drink wine, we would have no conflict in the world anyway.
I knew it was too good to be true.
At least that's my theory. Okay, so you guys, who popped the idea out there first of really getting into the business?
That was definitely you, James. James has always been the one with the vision. James was the one that really early on, even in my wine shop days, had the vision of one day turning our passion into something a little bit more serious. So I will definitely give James the credit for really having the foresight from the very beginning.
So you're sitting there working in this wine shop, and you guys are talking wines, and James, at that time, you're still in the military?
That's correct, Dave. I'm still in the military, still out in California, and as Mark mentioned in the last segment, we went 4 or 5 years where we didn't call each other, we didn't see each other than holidays, there was no friendship. But at this time, Mark's in Chicago learning wine, and I'm in California learning wine. And we decided to make, I guess, the first leap of faith. than rekindling this friendship. And Mark came out to California to visit me. And we went up to Napa twice and toured Napa together and met winemakers and learned the vineyards and drank great wine a couple times. And those were, again, really the first time that the two of us has gotten together and visited in many years. And as you mentioned, that when if we could just sit down and share a good glass of wine, there'd be a lot less conflict in the world. And that really rang true for the two of us, that after years and years of barely speaking, we were sitting in the vineyards in Napa Valley drinking great wine and resolving conflicts and coming back together again.
So you guys actually had a laundry list of things that you needed to deal with on a personal level.
I could say some of those things are worked out, and some of those were a maturity in the both of us to acknowledge what differences there are and what differences we can live with, and realize that regardless of what those differences are, we're still brothers and we have so much more in common than we do separate. And really, there's more important things in life to worry about.
You know, it's funny. I just wonder how many people actually sit in a tasting room or out on a park bench outside a winemaking operation and just say to themselves, gosh, you know what? We could do this. I could really do this. We've interviewed so many people who have wine careers that started that way. And it's fascinating how seductive.
I know everything's a little fruity in the loops right now.
The winemaking business is. I mean, it just sucks so many people in, and they'll give up everything. So what was the first step? So you're out there, you're talking, you're going up to Napa. I'm not sure, first of all, why you chose the Napa-Sonoma area as opposed to the Central Coast, because you were certainly familiar with it, and it seems to me a little easier to get into the business on the Central Coast. But ultimately, how was the decision made?
Well, I'll let Mark take that one about his, let him tell you about his initial move out to California and why and how he arrived in Napa and then Sonoma and how we got to making wine.
Okay.
Well, really, the draw to the Napa Valley had a lot to do with the focus of the wine shop I was working in. As I mentioned before, being in the Midwest, California wine as a whole was a big focus. But in the Chicago suburbs, the most sought-after wines, believe it or not, are really your high-end Napa Valley wines. So I knew the big names of Napa Valley. They were really the legends for me. So coming to California wine country, the first place I wanted to go was Napa Valley and see those places that I'd read about and see the locations that were really the birth of wines that I was selling. So after two trips of visiting Napa Valley with James, I really concluded that my career in the wine industry was only going to go so far in Illinois. And I was young, I was single, I had very little holding me back in Illinois, short of friends and family. So I actually made a pretty big leap to California, and believe it or not, James was the biggest supporter in this leap, where a lot of really pushed me to it and said, you know, just go for it, just do it. You'll regret it later if you don't. So I actually moved to Napa Valley about 7 years ago, and at the time I didn't know a soul in California. At that time, James had actually moved on from California. I did not have a job or anywhere to live, but I did have a dream. I had a passion and a goal to really make it in wine country. So I just moved out to Napa and found a job and made a life for myself. As I mentioned before, I really discovered Sonoma County and felt that this area where I am now is really where I fit in more. I started really enjoying the wines here, enjoying the wine culture here in Sonoma County. And as I moved to this area and James continued to visit me, I think he recognized the fit for our vision in the Sonoma County as well. Just the variety of appellations, the variety of different growing regions and styles of wine, just so much more diversity than other areas in California. It just really fit what we were hoping to do and what up until recently had been years of talk of what we were hoping to do. And I can actually remember the moment that it stopped being just talk and started turning into a reality. And it was actually a visit on my 30th birthday a couple years ago. James and some other family came out to visit, but there was a moment one night in the rental home where it was just James and myself. Everyone else had gone to bed and having that last glass of wine. I think we might have been having a couple cigars outside. And the talk got a little bit serious, and at a certain point, James, he turned to me and said, you know, enough talk. let's just actually do this. There's nothing holding us back anymore. And from there, Blanchard family started taking a real shape.
The problem with you guys is you've forgotten your roots.
That's just so cool. So you make this decision over wine and cigars. Cigars will actually help you make a decision. So now what? You're not, I think, going to go out and build a winery or plant grapes. I'm assuming that you went out and sourced grapes and a place to make it, right?
Absolutely. And that was just it. Is you come to the conclusion, let's do this, and then the next step is, well, how do we do this? Fortunately for me, of years of being here in the wine culture of Sonoma County, I'm lucky enough to just know a tremendous amount of people in the industry. And as I'm sure you know, David, the wine culture and wine community can be a very close-knit, tight community. And different winemakers, vineyard owners, viticulturists that I've known have always been very encouraging and helpful with my career. So when it came time to decide how do we make Blanchard family reality, I was lucky enough to know the right people to help us get that going. So I've had consultants that have helped me. I've known personal vineyard owners that have sold us our first tons of grapes. I know custom crush locations. So we actually started with one ton of Cabernet. One ton of Cabernet.
Yeah.
2007, you've had our Cabernet. It started with, let's just buy a ton, figure out where to make it, and go from there.
You know, I think what's so important about this story, and of course, if you're just joining us, we've got Mark and James Blanchard, who started Blanchard Family Wines not so long ago. And you know what, guys? And I'm talking really to my listeners. These are really, really terrific wines. I've had a chance to try the Cab and the Syrah, and they were as good as anything that I've ever tasted.
Hallelujah!
But what I think is so important about this story is if you've got that desire and passion to make wine, then do it, because, you know, it's never been easier to become a winemaker. You don't have to plant grapes.
I love grapes.
You don't have to have a winery.
Oh, come on!
You can get to know people who will take you under their wing and tell you exactly what you need to know to be a decent winemaker, and you can get your hands on some of the best grapes on the planet if you want to, especially in this economy, and you can really become somebody who makes great wines. Am I wrong?
No, you're exactly right, David, and you mentioned the economy and actually, you know, getting off your butt and doing something, and that's, you know, a big philosophy of mine is, you know, being a military guy, I'm about action. You know, there's no point in sitting on the sidelines. You got to get in the fight. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, why would you start a wine company in such a terrible economy? And I said, a terrible economy is exactly why we're starting a wine company. The time is right now. The grape prices are lower. People are starving for business, and it's time to go. And so you're exactly right. If you have the right contacts, you know the right people, you network, keep up your relationships properly, which Mark has done a fantastic job of out in Sonoma. There are wonderful grape sources available. There are tremendous winemakers that are willing to mentor you, to help you along, that like to share in your vision. And that is one of the reasons why Sonoma was just such a great fit for us. We're a very family-oriented business. We've had a bottling day where me and my brother, my mom, my dad, my children were all there bottling with us. We really like to have a family operation, and Sonoma has that family environment where people are willing to help you realize your dreams, and you know, no better time than now.
Okay, so I want to keep you guys on for just a couple more minutes because there's a few more important questions I really got to ask you. Gosh, folks, we're talking to Mark and James Blanchard, who are doing what myself and my brothers have wanted to do for many, many years. And so I really wanted to do this story. And there's just a little bit more we got to talk to you guys about on Grape Encounters Radio. Hang in.
Good to the last drop. Still time for more Grape Encounters Radio here on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
Oh my gosh, what I wouldn't do to be able to take my brothers, my two older brothers, away from what they're doing and just start making some great wines. We have consumed an incredible amount of great wine at family functions, but we're all doing different things. And at every single function, we talk about the idea that we want to make some wine one of these days. But there's a story that is so much like the story of my brothers about two fellas, Mark and James. The Blanchard boys, who went in completely different directions, developed different careers, different ideologies, were doing very different things, living very different lifestyles. But that one common denominator, oh my gosh, is wine. Wine will bring people together like nothing I've ever seen before. If you're having a feud with somebody, just show up at their house with a really good bottle of wine. Do not bring $2 wine. Bring great wine. Maybe bring a Blanchard family wine and sit down, and you will be able to resolve your differences. So guys, you make the decision. The first thing you decide to make is Cabernet. One of the things I'm curious about, your bottles are fantastic. I think you've really built a lot of meaning into that, and I think that's really important. Tell us about that, because the names of your wines are very interesting, and the bottles themselves are very interesting.
Okay, David, this very much plays into our family thought and our brotherness, I guess. The label, the BB symbol, was developed by our father when we started this company, and he essentially developed it on his own without telling us and then presented it to us. The inside portion of the symbol is two interlocked bees, and that represents the two Blanchard brothers, that we're united. We're united as brothers. We're united in a business venture. We're united in life. And so we have two interlocked bees for Blanchard brothers. And then surrounding those two interlocked bees, we have another, looks like the shape of a bee again. And at first glance, it is a bee representing Blanchard, of course. But upon closer look, it actually looks like a pregnant woman. And that symbol there represents both the mother's influence in keeping the brothers together, the mother's, you know, raising the children and what they've all done for us. But also coincidentally, when we started this company, when we were harvesting our very first grapes, me and my wife were pregnant with our youngest son, Cash. And in fact, we were in the hospital in Denver, and Mark called us and said, James, it's an exciting day. Our company is being started. We're harvesting grapes. The grapes are coming in. This is so exciting. We're finally doing this. And I said, I'm very excited as well, Mark, but I'm a little busy right now. We're going into labor. So the birth of our company is very much tied to the birth of my two boys, Jackson and Cash, and two brothers that I can already see now at a very young age have a tremendous bond as well. And it continues into the story that my two boys, Jackson and Cash, are the fifth generation in our family of just two boys. So this brother bond, this brother tradition, is extended for quite some time. There's no girls, there's no singles, no triples, just brothers. And so when we were trying to decide how we wanted to name some of our wines, we naturally leaned towards my children.
Marcia.
So the first wines we've done are this Cabernet, which is named the Cash Allen Cabernet. My son Cash was named after the wine, and the wine was named after him at the same time. His initials are actually C-A-B for Cab, Cash Allen Blanchard. The other wine, we have a Jackson James Zinfandel that'll be coming out shortly. And then, ironically, it doesn't change the story too much, but we also have the Amber Monique Syrah, which you tasted. And that is an adopted daughter of mine and my wife. We adopted her when she was 11 years old, so she's not our biological child. But she did get a wine named after her as well.
Well, I have to tell you that I've actually adopted that as a favorite wine as well. I'm dead serious, too. I don't think I would... I mean, I might do this story if you guys did mediocre wines, just because... I love the whole idea of, you know, throwing it all in to become winemakers, because we've talked about that so much in the past. But the fact that you guys are making great wines is really terrific. What kind of accolades are you getting?
What we're getting is a lot of grassroots accolades. Online bloggers, web pages, press like yourself. It's been really nice, but for the most part, as new and as small as we are, we haven't really gone for the big accolades yet.
Well, I think that's a lot of work to go through, to be in those competitions and get noticed. But it's a whole other world now, and people are finding out about great wines online, I think, as well as any other place. In fact, Facebook has such an amazing wine community.
Little did he know it means there's something he doesn't know. That means there's something you don't know. You know that
if you really want to, learn where the good wines are being made right now, you don't have to go any further than that, I think.
And I agree, David. And that's part of our company philosophy of just we make wine that people want to enjoy.
Isn't that a dilly?
We don't make wine for critics. We don't make wine for ratings.
It's a doozy.
We make wine that two people are going to want to sit around a dinner table and share and tell a story with.
In your worst dreams,
a duck flies off with your penis.
And so we're much more concerned of word of mouth, of just individuals that come across our wine, whether it be a restaurant or a wine shop or however they come across it, that they enjoy it, that they provide us that feedback. Facebook is a very big marketing tool for us. Blanchard Family Wines is on Facebook. And any kind of blog, online media, really that's where the small new wineries need to make their start, and that's where we intend to stay.
So you know what, I'm just going to do one last thing. We've got 30 seconds left. Listeners, if you want to really taste a dream, and I think it's so exciting to open up a bottle of wine made by guys like this that just sat around drinking wine, smoking cigars, and saying, you know what, we can do this. Get your hands on a bottle or a case of Blanchard Family Wines and think about what these two guys have gone through to get to the point that they are right now. You're going to love the wines. I can really endorse these wines. These guys are not paying me to do this. This is not a paid segment. It's just a beautiful story about two people who said, you know, let's do something that we really want to do. So in 10 seconds, where can they find you guys?
Well, David, you can find us at BlanchardFamilyWines.com. You can find us on Facebook at Blanchard Family Wines. We're also distributed in Colorado, Florida. You can find us in Healdsburg, California, and shortly this summer we'll also be in Illinois.
Okay, that's it, gang. That's your homework assignment, listeners, for this week. Get out and find yourself some Blanchard Family Wines. I think they're going to be great. And just enjoy the story. Read the story online on their website. It will really inspire you. And I really appreciate you guys being on Grape Encounters Radio. That is all we have. But thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, David.
Thank you for having us, David.
That's it, gang. We'll see you next time. Same time, same place here in the super secret broadcast location.
Catch all of our previous episodes on GrapeEncountersRadio.com. We are here 24/7, whenever you feel like uncorking one, together.
Oh.